Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whit.
Hey, we're back.
You finally picked up on me always saying I'm Mark Whitman the way you say it.
Yes.
And you said, I know what I'll do.
Hey, welcome to the Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, the wrestling you wish you had seen, and stuff. Death Dealers Invitational, Mark, our final eight. And what we've got is we've got the four matches of the final eight, but we've got three preliminary matches, and we're going to lay these out for you leading into our final weekend in Atlanta and Boston. But before we get there, we got a great card. Our opening match is a four-way tag team match. The Young Bucks versus the British Bulldogs versus the Rockers versus RVD and Sabu.
Yeah, I like it. It's just a fun match, man. It's a bunch of guys that can – I mean, you know, the Bulldogs early on, like especially the Dynamite Kid, like redefined. All these guys, RVD, Sabu, the Young Bucks, and the Rockers, they owe a debt of gratitude to the Dynamite Kid.
So to see them in there with the originator of so much of their stuff is really good.
So that's a good match. I look forward to. I don't know who goes over. Who you think? I don't think it matters. These are, you know, it's tough to say. All right, we're kind of trying to stick with tag team stuff here.
Yes.
At least in this card, we're gonna,
right. You
know, we'll branch off. I think, with the exception of like a one or two matches, maybe we should stick with tag teams.
Right. No, that's what I was thinking. So. I think it'd be a good match, and then Davy Boy gives somebody a power slam, and Dynamite hits that diving headbutt, and take her home, baby.
Or what if?
What? Go ahead, say what you're going to say.
Well, what if? What if it breaks down and there's no clear winner?
Right,
and you have like the Young Bucks and RVD and Sabu. Oh, the next night in an eight-man tag, take on the Rockers and the British Bulldogs, or the Rockers and the Young Bucks take on the Bulldogs and RVD and Sabu. I don't want to do that, and you'll know why in a minute.
Right.
I think you're right. I think the British Bulldogs.
So what I
power slam headbutt 1-2-3.
What I think could happen is the Young Bucks this entire match are trying to avoid the British Bulldogs. They're trying to avoid Davy Boy Smith. But eventually, RVD and Sabu decide they aren't going to get along. They go off here and fight. Marty Jannetty, the coward he is, tries to jump through a window to get away from Shawn Michaels, but they're off.
Uh-huh.
And the Young Bucks can't get away from the British Bulldogs. And then they get, you know.
They hit the Meltzer driver on Tom Billington. He no-sells it.
Yeah, they hit it. They hit it on him. He kicks out at one. You know, there's a holy crap chant, and then power slam headbutt.
That's easy.
Our next match, the Hollywood Blondes versus the Hart Foundation.
Yeah. Tell everybody. You're saying that like, all right, go ahead, Mark, and tell them what's going to happen. Tell them what the original idea was. Who was it, the Hollywood Blondes versus who?
It was going to be, okay, I pitched – Hollywood Blondes versus the Rock and Sock Connection. Because I wanted to tie into the Steve Austin Rock chemistry. And Mark said, well, what if we did this?
What if we had the Hollywood Blondes take on the Harts of Jim Neidhart and Bret Hart?
Right.
Because there's also a connection to Steve Austin and Bret Hart. They have incredible chemistry. And Brian Pillman was part of the Hart Foundation. And what if, as we get into this match, Brian Pillman turns his back on Steve Austin, joins the Hart Foundation in a 3-on-1 beatdown.
Yeah.
And then if you smell what the Rock is cooking comes on, here comes Rock and Sock Connection. So then on our final night in Boston, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, whatever. The Rock joined forces to take on Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and the late great Brian Pillman.
Yeah, I mean, I still think, you know, so this match ends up being so the finish is there is no
No, this
finish.
Just sets, yeah, I mean, you can't have, this sets up a match for the last night.
Right, right. Next, we've got a match I would love to see. Mm-hmm. The Revival versus the Brainbusters. Mm-hmm. The team that inspired them all the way down to their satin jackets.
Yeah. So I think, and I just had this thought,
mm-hmm.
what if we do a best 2 out of 3 series?
Ah.
Have one match each night.
That's brilliant.
So they'll face each other the next 3 nights.
Yes.
So now I need to know, who's the heel team, who's the babyface team, in a Revival versus Brainbusters match?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody,
are they just both what they were, wrestling heels?
Basically, everybody 25 and under is pulling for the Revival because it's cool.
Yeah.
And everybody 40 and over is pulling for the Brainbusters.
True.
And this to me is a generational battle, mm-hmm. of where what's crazy about this is these two teams in style are the same, mm-hmm. in personality the same.
Yeah.
So even though you say there's a generational gap, there's not.
True.
It's the same. So so this first night, I say the Revival goes over, and people start saying, man, Arn and Telly, what, these young guys are going to upstart them, and man, are Arn and Telly, what happens if they lose the Revival 2 nights in a row? Well, are they even going to get, win a match in this series?
See, I would tend to think that the Brainbusters should go over to put the babyface, if as much as the Revival can be the babyface.
Right.
I would put the Brainbusters over so that the Revival fans say, I got to see what happens tomorrow.
Right.
I got to check out what's going to happen in Atlanta to see if the Revival can even this thing back up and even make it to Boston.
Right. But see, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying you're going to be in Atlanta. And people are going to be like, man, we might be seeing the last match ever of Arn and Tully. Like, this is the ticket. Like, people are not just going to buy for the Freebirds match we're giving them in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Not just going to buy for our semifinals. We could sell this as
this could possibly be the last match that you'll ever see Arn and Tully have in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So you think the Revival need to go over?
I think Revival goes over night one.
Mark it down, because it don't happen often. You convinced me. You're starting to think like a promoter, which I like.
Right.
That's what you – I like that, boy.
You just circled the wrong team. Oh, wait. Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
You were so used to me doing it my way that you're not used to me. Yeah. The Revival goes over so that we can sell it as quite possibly Arn and Tully's last match in Atlanta.
So let me go ahead and write that in to – And can you imagine the vignette? I mean, I got a week. I got a week to put a career retrospective vignette of the Brainbusters.
Yeah.
And I want people watching it thinking, man, this is it.
With that Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You song playing. And, you know, photo like Arn Anderson in slow motion bouncing back and forth on his ankles getting ready to go to the ring. I mean, good stuff. Man.
Them getting out of a limo.
Yeah. Walking in a straight line like the right stuff.
Oh, man. So now we're into the Elite Eight of the Death Dealers Invitational. This first match, Slobberknocker.
Yeah.
Get the tables. APA and the Dudleys.
Yeah, man.
APA, we said in one of the last episodes, they've had a fairly easy,
yeah.
The APA beat the Gangsters. They beat the Hardys. They beat the Nasty Boys to get here. Dudleys are one of the all-time greats. And for me, we said about the APA, as far as the Sweet 16, we were both surprised they were in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I go with the Dudleys. If we're talking about the trying to get down to the top four tag teams, to me, it's Dudley
that.
Boys.
I agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. I would go with the Dudleys.
I would not say – I would never say – especially now that their career as a tag team is over for the most part. I don't think in my mind the Dudleys, I'll ever consider them the greatest tag team of all time, but I think you said it.
Nah.
They're going to be in that top five.
Yeah, they're a very decorated tag team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're near the draw that some of these other teams are.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Next, the Midnight Express versus the Steiner Brothers. And the winner is going to face the Dudley Boys. Take my money now.
I'm captivated by the Steiners versus the Dudleys.
I am too.
About what that match looks like.
I am too.
I'm also thinking that everybody else would put the Steiners over the Midnight Express.
Right.
So that nobody would expect to see the Midnights beat the Steiners.
Right.
You know? Now look, man, who deserve? This is when you get into who, between the Steiner Brothers and the Midnight Express, who have contributed more.
Right.
To tag team wrestling.
Right.
Then, man, the Midnight Express took tag team maneuvers to new heights. They really did. I mean, like, they rewrote the book on tag team wrestling in a lot of ways with all the double team maneuvers that they came up with. But the Steiners, man, how do you beat the Steiners?
Right. I mean, the Steiners, NWA, WCW, WWE, New Japan,
ECW. I mean, they didn't
as much as I love the Midnights, just in the South, they never really did. They did World Class. They did Jim Crockett. They did Mid-South. They did Memphis. They did those.
Uh-huh.
Never had a run up North. Mm-hmm. I think you laid out their accolades and their contributions to tag team wrestling beautifully. I'm still jonesing for the Midnight Express versus Fabulous Ones in Atlanta or Boston. Probably Atlanta. I'm still wanting to see that match. So I'm leaning Steiners, but I don't.
I think it's got to be the Steiners. Here's the thing with our singles tournament was it didn't turn into here's the teams that are going to – you couldn't guess.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of turned into a thing where you kind of can guess. You know what
right.
I mean? And I don't like that. But I still got to go with the Steiners.
Yeah. So it's going to be in the semifinals, the Steiners versus the Dudleys. Real brothers versus pretend brothers. Speaking of other real brothers versus pretend brothers, the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors versus Harlem Heat.
I think – okay, so let me spoil – let's go to the other match first. The Rock and Roll Express versus Demolition.
Yes.
Rock and Roll Express, what's been the story of this tag team tournament?
Yeah.
Refresh their memories.
All right. So the Rock and Roll Express, in round one, they beat the Samoan SWAT team. Round two, they beat the Miracle of Violence connection of Terry Gordy and Steve Williams. Round of the Sweet 16, they beat the Skyscrapers. The Rock and Roll Express have not had – they have been in three fights.
This is
about to be their fourth one.
And they are going to once again prove that no matter what you do to them, if they just get a chance to get that, all they need is 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And they're going to beat Demolition because when they're obviously the LOD is going to beat Harlem Heat.
Yes.
And now in our final match, the Rock and Roll Express has the fight of their life. They have been through.
Yeah.
If they win,
yeah,
they have defeated every monster team in the history of this business. And even if they don't win, they are still going. They are over because of the performance they had. It's like that plucky underdog that even if they finally get beat,
they're having the Misawa run of the tag team tournament.
Yeah,
where they have just at any.
And I'll be honest with you, I never thought Rock and Roll Express would be in it. Than that this far.
I didn't either.
But the story
right.
that presented itself.
It was
good not to tell that story.
Right. Right. And this is just kind of how. Because here's the deal. Let's say you go with Demolition against Road Warriors. We've seen that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did Rock and Roll. I mean, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Rock and Roll Express versus the Road Warriors.
I'm sure, they faced.
And the story we're selling, okay, so the Rock and Roll, and I would even say Rock and Roll Express has beaten Demolition on this night. Road Warriors come out and jump them. And the story on social media all week, man, are Rock and Roll Express even going to be in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Because the Road Warriors tried to take them out.
Yeah.
And are they going to be healed up from their injury? Like, it's going to be a daily Bill Belichick injury report.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Morton suffered, you know, sprained shoulder. Robert Gibson's got a wandering eye. You know, some kind of things.
One of them's looking at you, one of them's looking for you.
But I feel like if you're a wrestling fan, if you looked at the final four of our singles tournament, there were uproar. There was an uproar all around the world. Pakistan to Pennsylvania, people were like, what is this? Goldberg, John Cena, The Undertaker, and Mitsuhiro Misawa. What in the world? But there's no, like, these four teams.
I'm telling stories here.
Yeah.
I'm painting pictures.
Right, and this is
anybody can say, oh, Demolition will beat the Rock and Roll Express. Anybody can say that. I'm telling you the story.
Yeah. That's what's fun about this.
It's a story. Go on the ride with the story of the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, like to me, that's what's fun about the fantasy booking.
Damn, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. So I'm looking at the final four of the Rock and Roll Express versus the Road Warriors, the Steiners versus the Dudleys. Any of those four teams could win. Like there has been no – the Rock and Roll Express are the closest thing to a Cinderella in this
– The closest thing to a Cinderella?
But what I'm saying is
– They are the Cinderella store.
But here's what I'm telling you. You say that. They haven't beat any other Hall of Fame teams to get here. They're in the Hall of Fame.
True.
But we told the Cinderella story. We made the overdog the underdog.
Yeah.
You did. He's brilliant. And I'm telling you what.
That's what I do.
Listen, I love, you know, this is the fantasy booking. I love it. It's because we always start out with a blind draw. Mm-hmm. You can't manipulate it.
Right.
And then
once that's on the board, I can manipulate what's on the board.
Right. And to me, that is the genius of Mark Whitman. Is like Larry Bird could see the play develop and he could see where everybody was going to be. And when Mark Whitman, when we put it on this dry erase board that has been in my family for generations, and it's here in my mother's, in the basement of my parents' house, and there is mold and there is mildew, and this thing has been used to put cattle records on, and they have used it for all this stuff. And when we get the bracket up here, and Mark Whitman, you see the wheels turning in that pea brain of his, and he sees he sees everything. I mean, he becomes
like a BB rolling around in a boxcar.
He becomes a Rain Man, and he's like
like Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, like the part in The Hangover when he's playing poker. He sees all these equations.
It's true. That's how my mind works when it comes to wrestling.
But it's really awesome to see. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you think Mark can book fantasy stuff, 3countpro.com is where you need to go. So we're moving into – this is what you're going to get in Atlanta. The first night of the deal, semifinal match, Rock and Roll Express versus the Road Warriors. Second semifinal match, Steiners versus the Dudleys. Then you're going to see in a six-man match, Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, and Buddy Roberts versus David Von Erich, Kerry Von Erich, and Kevin Von Erich. Six-man match. Country whipping match. Can I throw that?
Country whipping match. I like it.
Then you're going to see match number two of the best of three series, Revival versus the Brainbusters. And then on top of that, we're going to have three other matches for you.
Uh-huh.
Then on night, the final night in Boston, the night after this great show in Atlanta, we're going to have our finals. We're going to have a third place match. We're going to have Stan Hansen versus Bruiser Brody. Mark's got to book that match. And then we got Steve Austin, The Rock, and Mankind versus the Hart Foundation and Brian Pillman. Mm-hmm. In a loser must sing the national anthem of the opposing country match. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to be the stipulation.
Tell every like I want people to know when we get here.
Yeah.
I have spent zero time ahead of time.
No,
with these names. Like it's just coming up here and starting the process
on the fly.
Now I kind of know what I'm going to do.
Right.
Because I can see it. But before, like up until now, it's just been.
Like we got here, it's 2 o'clock. We got here at 9:30, and I had the Sweet 16. The eight matches of Sweet 16 were on the board. Mm-hmm. And Mark didn't even know what those were.
It's true.
And boom, 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 boom. Genius. And you know what I do? I make sure he's got equipment to meet his standards. And I hit record. And I let him go. And that's why I interrupt him sometimes. Okay? This is, you guys need to, I interrupt Mark to get on all of your nerves. Because everybody out there is like, I wish he let Mark finish. Because Mark needs to finish. And that's why I interrupt him. And I do things. And I get on everybody's nerves. And I finish his sentences so that when he finally does get to finish his own sentence, his brilliance, my stupidity makes his brilliance shine even more brighter.
You're only saying that because you called me a pea brain earlier.
Did I call you?
You did. You were like,
when did I say that?
Pea brain is. You were just 2 minutes ago, you called me a pea brain.
I don't think I did.
Do you really not think you did?
Mark, when have I ever said anything disparaging about you on this show?
And that big pea brain of yours.
Did I say? Did you take that as an insult?
Was that meant to be a compliment? I took it.
Did I say pea brain? I don't.
Your brain is so small, yet you can do so much with it.
I think you misheard me. And I think
you can't mishear pea brain.
I meant Pendleton. Pendleton brain.
I got you.
Did you not?
Let me tell y'all, speaking of pee, if you ever had to sit next to Heath in elementary school, you'll know he was the kid that always smelled like pee.
That's bullcrap. That is ridiculous.
You smelled like Wiz.
No, I didn't. Why did I smell like what the crap are you talking about?
You smelled like Wiz. He always wore he had those thick glasses.
Oh, gosh.
And he always wore a sweater that was just a little bit too tight. It was just a little too small. And he always smelled like pee.
You can't even remember what we ate for lunch 2 weeks ago. And you're going
to
tell.
But that ought to tell you something about how strongly you stank, how strongly you stank of urine. So I can remember that.
So I'll finish.
As I like to say, piss hang heavy in the air when you're sitting next to me.
Number one, Mark never sat next to me. But in first grade, I don't know if you remember, at Pendleton Elementary where we went to school, there was a sign and it had rules in the bathroom. And one of them, it said, do not pee pee on the floor.
Did it say pee pee?
It had pee, period, pee, period, on the floor.
Do not pee pee on the floor.
And this is back in the day when you walk into the bathroom and there's the trough and then there's like two toilets.
Uh-huh.
Oh, just one of the most awkward things in the world. But
the big line, and we were all little, so we weren't unzipping our pants and pulling our danglings out. We were unbuckling our pants and dropping them around. So everybody said,
but do you remember in first grade, some people got in trouble? This is how my brain works, okay? This is how. But some people got in trouble, and they pulled all the boys in the first grade, not just our class, but all the boys. And we all got a tongue lashing because somebody was peeing in the floor. Like, somebody was peeing in the floor in the bathroom, and they didn't know who it was. And they yelled, like, we got yelled at. And I remember, this is like 35 years ago. I had a dream that I walked in to use the bathroom one day, and all of y'all were in the bathroom just peeing in the floor. And come on, Heath, we're all peeing in the floor. Come, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to pee. Like, I still can see that picture in my brain of everybody peeing in the floor. And so that's why I smelled, you know.
That's why you smelled like urine. You were trying to hold it, and you'd pee on yourself. You'd pee down your britches leg. That's what happened. You couldn't. I don't know what happened, but
I guess because
I know you had your britches around your ankles like the rest of them. So it was just dribbling out your little weenus.
Ain't nothing more awkward now than going into a bathroom and you see an older gentleman and he's gone full. His pants.
And he's always bent at the knee with his hips pushed forward, shouldered back.
What's great is when you walk in there and pants around the ankles and they got their hands up and they're just kind of standing there.
That's right.
Like they're holding the wall up. Oh my goodness. Listen, I don't know what happens in a women's bathroom. But if y'all
you ain't never been in the right one then.
Oh my dear. But anyway, that's what this show is. Mark, you know, insulting me, insulting my intelligence, insulting, you know, making fun of me for, you know, the health problems I had when I was a child and my parents weren't able to afford, you know, clean clothes for me, and we were only able to do laundry once a month when the milk money came in. And you know, I wasn't able to watch cable, and Mark comes in here. He's like, oh, did you see this match? I saw it. I was like, well, Mark, I don't have internet. You know, I'm not able to watch wrestling like you are. And talks about movies. Well, you know, I'm not able to go to the – I'm just kidding.
I think I mentioned the movie, and you were like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about watching that later. I've already got it.
So, hey – we hope you've enjoyed the Death Dealers Invitational. The final two episodes of the tournament are coming up. Don't forget, Thursday, March 30th, we're going to be going live in our patrons group with our fantasy dream WrestleMania card using matches that actually happened. The parameters are we can only use a guy one time. We can only use a title one time. So there's only going to be one title match. One intercontinental title match, one tag team title match. So I'm looking forward to that because we've kind of painted ourselves into a corner and really got to pick some good matches. And like WrestleMania, we've got that's going to be a 20 match card. We got to get everybody. I'm just kidding. So anything else? Twitter. What are we on Twitter? What are we doing?
You're at Heath Mulligan. I'm at the DDK show.
Mark's at thepeabrain.com.
Heath's at theurinestain.com.
Hashtag smells like pee.
Hashtag pee pee boy.
Hey, so, you know, some podcasts, you know, they get, they get sponsors from like Miller Lite and stuff. So, hey, if you're like, the guy from Depends listening to this, we'd be happy to support your product.
If the day ever comes when I feel like we have to shill every 5 minutes on this show, it'd be awful.
Yeah.
We're not corporate owned, man.
Nah.
We own us. Actually, you do. I don't own anything. You own it all, but. You just keep getting me new headsets, and you can keep keeping them.
Yeah, these are really nice. I've been very pleased with how they work today.
Yeah, me too.
So, and if you want us to get, you know, we'll get you a pair of headsets if you become a patron, patreon.com/doubledropkick.
Easy before you go making promises.
Hey.
We're going to buy them headphones.
No. So, hey, as always.
If you join at the $250 level, we'll get you some headphones.
Yeah. If you give us $250 a month. I'll name this show after you.
That's right.
This is for go for me. Hey, welcome to the Thomas McIntyre show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
Hey, there you go. Hey, so thanks for listening for the Double Dropkick show owned by Thomas McIntyre. I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.